We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 11th chapter, the 4th Pasuk. And as usual, we'll read it with the traditional tune. Lo yo'il hon v'yom evraham utzdakah tatzil mimavet. The simple reading of the Pasuk, in the day of God's wrath, when Hashem gets upset at a person, so then all the wealth in the world isn't going to save him. Lo yo'il hon. The wealth doesn't help a person. It's not beneficial to a person. The Yom Evra, on a day of wrath. Utzdakah, but on the contrary, the charity that a person has given, Tatzil Mimavet, can save a person from death. So that's a simple reading. You think you save money, that's how you'll live long. You save money, that's what'll save you. No. Actually, you're giving money. The charity, that's what saves from death. So that's a simple reading of the Pasuk. Says the Targum, Lo mahane shikra b'yom adrugza. Lies don't help in a day of anger. And the Targum must learn that hon over here is like the word lo tonu ish et amito. Tonu, don't be dishonest in your business. So then lo yo'il hon, being dishonest won't help b'yom evra, in the days of God's anger. You're not going to trick your way out of justice. Utzdakah, whereas charity, tatzil mimavet, says the Targum, mefalta, it saves a person, min motabisha, from a bad death. Die? We all die. But what type of death? So the Targum gives us an interesting insight to the pasuk. He gives a totally different interpretation. The word hon could mean wealth. The word hon, he's learning, comes from the word lehonot, to lie, to be dishonest. And it's interesting how times haven't changed. A few millennium have passed, but I still hear people saying, when God takes me to judgment, I'm going to find a way out. I'm going to get me a good lawyer. No, it's not going to help. There's no lying up there. But there are things that do help. Pasuk, hey, Sidkat Tamim, Tiyashir Dokoho. Sidkat Tamim, the righteousness, the charity that a person does when he's whole, Tiyashir Doko, that helps him stay on the straight path. A person thinks, I'm doing the poor a favor. Yeah, you are, but you're also doing yourself a favor. You're helping yourself stay on course. A person becomes a different person when he's a caring person. When a person does things for other people, he stays on the right path. Uverish ato yipol rasha, and out of a person's own wickedness, a person causes his own downfall. He becomes a person. He stumbles over his own wickedness ultimately. And again, these are things that are life's lessons. This is a theme that we see over and over again. What type of person am I? It's not only about what do I do for him, who am I after I've done that? And people underestimate the effect the actions have on who we are, what type of person we are. A person only learns true kindness when he has someone intimately in his life, when he's carrying that baby. It's only then that you start understanding what it means to really be dedicated, to really give, to really care. And a person becomes a different person. The Targum over here also, so we won't go into it. Pasuk Vav. Tzidkat Yesharim Tatzilehem. The righteousness of those who are honest, that's what ultimately saves them. Uvehavat Bogedim Yilachedu. Uvehavat. And when people prepare things that are destructive, ultimately it destroys themselves. It's like we have often in Gaza that their bomb factories explode on themselves. And, You try to create destruction, so then sometimes it destroys the person himself. Tzidkat yesharim tatzilim. The righteousness keeps those that are honest from harm. Vimot adam rasha. It's interesting. I just got a letter from the IRS that they want to audit me.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So I told my wife, we have nothing to worry about, Baruch Hashem. I'm unaware of anything we didn't report. And it's interesting because people sometimes say, why should they audit me? I don't care if they'll audit me. You know, good. So we'll talk to them. So whatever they want, we'll show them. And I don't know, it's a phone audit. No, say that.
Bar told me this morning, kind of work this way before he said that now their IRS is auditing all the American Israelis because it had so many bad reports from them. So everyone's getting audited now.
Ah, okay. So it's not personal. It's interesting because the letter is very personal. They write the letter, they say, we're auditing you because we saw some information that doesn't add up. So I said, okay, ask me. It's fine.
The calculations are too honest. There's something fishy going
on. I don't know. Okay. Well,
it's not personal. It's just that you're Israeli or Jewish.
Okay.
Just someone didn't ask the questions like, why are you doing business with this or that person?
I don't have... I'm not so complicated, you know. It's not... Pasuk Zayin. But a person has to know that honesty pays off in the long run. In the short run, it seems like you finagle here, you finagle there, you're going to benefit. No, in the long run, it's honesty that pays off. Demot adam rasha, tovat tikvah, vetochelet onim, avadam. Demot adam rasha, when a wicked person passes away, tovat tikvah, then a lot of people's hope goes down the tube because they focus their hope on him. So if you're relying on a person, so then there are a lot of people out there who know that if this person doesn't win the election, I'm doomed. It's not only him that's out of job. V'tochelet onim avada. And on means strength. The hope of his children is lost, because if all your strength revolves around your strength, so then that's something that's passing. A wicked person, his strength is what he is here and now. But there are a lot of enemies lurking. There are a lot of people that once he comes down, they're going to be there to try and get him down all the way. You could talk about Mubarak, you could talk about Gaddafi. There are a lot of people out there. Their strength is only so long as they could hold on to it. But the second they start going down, everyone's lost. You know, yesterday they came out against Mubarak's two children for insider trading. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Yes, okay. Tzaddik, but again, tzidkat yesharim, this is juxtaposed with the righteousness of a person. When you lead a life the way you should, so then you have much more to rely on than just your wealth, your strength of where you are now. In the long run, you're supposed to set up a life where our life is connected with other people. We're a part of a bigger system. The Chazon Ish, in his work, Emunah U'Bitachon, has a beautiful description. He takes a chapter and a half, a section and a half, describing the brilliance of the creation of the human body. And he discusses the brilliance in the eye, and the brilliance in the digestive tract, and the brilliance of the kidney and the liver. And he really goes through the body describing how brilliant it is. This is all in the quest for God. So he says, look at the brilliance of the human body. And then he says, now, God wanted us to have a world that's more than just bodies living, so God made interaction possible, so that you could hear and you can talk. And he gives a totally different perspective. He says, our understanding, our capacity to understand one another is another level in this whole world. Animals can also make sounds and they could hear and interact, but Hashem wanted us to develop that beyond. That's part of the greatness of humanity. Our capacity to develop webs of relationships where we don't live this world alone. So then the question is, what kind of web am I creating? Am I creating a world where everyone hates me and everyone's scared of me and it's my power that keeps me where I am? Or am I creating a world where I have friends, I'm creating a world where I have people who I'm connected to, I help them, they help me, and then my life is not contingent on the power I have now. Quite the contrary. I have a whole network set up where my life is far broader than the power I have right now. So that's why when a wicked person falls, that's it, there's no hope. His children say, where are we going to go now? Everyone hates us. And that's juxtaposed with the righteousness, the wholeness, the honesty. When a person leads that type of life, so then he doesn't fall. He might stumble, but there's a whole net out there ready to help him stand up. Tzaddik mitzara nechelatz. A righteous person is saved from a harmful situation. And in his place comes the wicked, and he falls in that same place. So Chazal tell us this pasuk about many people. One person is Mordechai. We know the gallows were all set up, ready to have Mordechai hung. Who ends up hanging there? The same guy who set up the gallows. That's the pasuk we read earlier. Uvehavat bogedim yilachedu. That the treacherous people end up falling on their own stumbling block that they set up, their own destruction, they bring about their own destruction. And that's Haman. He set up his own gallows. He thought he was setting it up for Mordechai. That's this idea. Tzadik mitzara nechelatz. Look at how Mordechai escapes, vayavo rasha tachtav, and then the wicked Haman is hanging in his place. Bife chaneif yashchit reyehu uvdat tzadikim yechaleitzu. Using his mouth, bife, with his mouth, chaneif yashchit reyehu, a person who is a sycophant, he compliments, but only because he's trying to achieve an end. So he knows how to sweet talk, but really he's trying to entice his friend to go a certain route. Befe chaneif yashchit re'ehu, the sycophant can destroy his friend. Uvedat, and because a person knows Torah, tzadikim yechaleitzu. That's why the righteous escape. And the idea here is that every person is susceptible to flattery. A sycophant is one who's trying to flatter you, to get you to go his route. And the Torah is supposed to train us to hear through that. Whenever a person compliments you, so on the one hand, the initial reaction is, you feel good, finally someone appreciates me. But there should be a second reaction. What's he trying to get? I once had a business of jelly bean machines. Soda machines, jelly beans machines. It was actually a very lucrative business. So you'd be surprised. On a jelly bean machine, I can make $70 to $100 a day. Just on a jelly bean machine, if you get a good location. So I once came to a Jewish shopping center. And I had a meeting set up with the head of the shopping center to get his approval to set up jelly bean machines in his store, in his shopping center. So we come to the store, and I see he's struggling with a cart, with a dolly. He's trying to take some merchandise to bring to a truck. So I recognized him as the head of the whole franchise, and I went over to help him so the stuff doesn't fall off the dolly. So he didn't know me. He had only known me, my voice. He had known me when I was younger. He didn't recognize me. So I help him, and he says, who are you and why are you helping me? So I said, I'm Netanel Frankenthal, and what's wrong with a Jew helping another Jew? So he said, no, you're Netanel Frankenthal who wants to do business with me. You're not Netanel Frankenthal who... I said, really? So he said, yeah. Obviously he was right. We both knew he was right. But a person is supposed to be able to discern, to see through flattery. And that's one of the things that Torah is supposed to teach us. Not to be taken by sweet words. Uvedaat tzadikim yechaleitzu. And with the knowledge of Torah, the righteous can escape flattery and see through what's going on. And that's not easy. It takes a lot of wisdom and it takes work. It's very difficult. A person very often has a lot of yay-sayers around him. It's natural. The people who oppose you, well, then they're not your clan, right? But then what happens when you have to hear the people who oppose you? I got a very interesting email 2-3 months ago. A person sends me an email and he says, I'm in a community and I have certain issues with the rabbi. And the first thing I thought, maybe it's someone in my community and he just doesn't have the courage to tell me. So he's going in a roundabout way. So I tried answering him honestly. It turns out it was legitimate concerns. The follow-up emails and everything, I understood. Some community in the Midwest or something, I don't know exactly where. But my first thought was, maybe there's someone that has a complaint and they're not comfortable to tell me. A person has to be attuned. One of the things the Torah teaches us is to be attuned. Not just to be happy to hear those that applaud what we do. Uvedat tzadikim yechaleitzu. Meaning it takes a certain level of knowledge and a person has to work on it so that he escapes the pitfalls that flattery can throw him down. And again, I'm telling you, this is a hard thing to do. The heads of businesses, CEOs have this issue, rabbis have this issue. Whenever you have a position of leadership, so then the people around you are going to talk nicely to you. That doesn't mean that that's what you have to hear. Sometimes what you have to hear are the people who don't talk nicely to you. David HaMelech said, I listen closely when people speak badly about me. That's where I could learn. It's not comfortable. It's not pleasant. But that's what a person should do. Pasuk Yud. Bituv tzadikim ta'alot kirya. When it's good for the righteous, then the city's happy because they know that when the righteous have it good, everyone will benefit. They'll share the wealth. Uvavod resha'im rina. And when the wicked are lost, so then people are happy. Vavod resha'im rina. Notice time and again throughout Tehillim and Mishle. You see this concept over and over again. It's not enough to like that which is good. You also must hate that which is bad. The Torah trains us to this over and over again. Part of being good is hating evil. And that's a concept which the world has lost. The world, that's part of why the world's going mad. Being a tolerant person doesn't mean tolerating evil. I can tolerate different. I shouldn't tolerate evil. Ba'avod l'sha'im rina. When the wicked are lost, there is joy, there is happiness in the world. We have to know that part of being good is the desire to obliterate evil. If we could change evil, good. If evil will come to our side and be good, that's great. But if evil is lost, we celebrate. Ba'avod resha'im rina. This pasuk is a formula that appears many times in Chazal. Ba'avod resha'im rina. Yes. I think there are levels. I think that we should hate the suicide bombers. I think that we should hate Ahmadinejad. I think that when a person says he wants to annihilate all of the Jewish people, we have to hate him. I think there are levels of evil, and so there are levels of enmity that we should have, depending on where a person's holding. There's a difference between saying, this person is not learned, this person isn't observant, so I care for him. this person is a non-Jew. I care for him. He's a part of humanity. God loves all of humanity. That's one thing. But then you have people who are evil. Okay. No one's telling Ahmadinejad he can't do tshuva. I don't think he could do tshuva. He's been too cruel and assassinated too many people. But that's for God to decide. But right now he's not doing tshuva. So where he's at, he's a wicked, evil person, and I hate him. Birkat Yesharim Taruhum Karet, with the blessing to those that are honest. So then, if those that are honest are blessed and they're the ones guiding the city, so then Tarum Karet, the city is uplifted. Uvifirishaim Te Hares. But when blessings go to the wicked, when they're the ones that are running the city, they're the ones that decide what goes, so then teheres, then the city gets ruined. Here we also see an appreciation for the impact that leadership can have. So the city, what's it their fault? But if that's the leader, they have to realize that's the price they're going to pay. Baz l're'ehu chasar lev, a person that scorns his friend, he is a person that lacks a heart. He is not doing so out of intelligence. Ve'ish tevunot yacharish, but if the person who is being scorned is a person of intellect, if he has understanding, so he will be silent and he won't answer. He lacks a heart. Why should I answer him? You guys remember the Rambam on this? The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos? Let's see if we can find the Rambam. The Rambam quotes from a philosopher. What was his happiest day in life? There's a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos tells the following story. I won't take the time to find it inside. The Rambam says, he quotes from a philosopher that they asked him once, what was the happiest day of your life? So the philosopher says, the happiest day? Well, I was traveling on a ship, and on the upper level there were a bunch of wealthy, haughty people, and on the lower level there were people who were simple, regular citizens, and I was dressed rather sheepishly, I was dressed shabbily, and I was on the lower level, and I was sitting there, and suddenly one of the people on the upper level went to the edge of the deck, looked down at me, unzipped his zipper, and started urinating on me. And I'm sitting there on the lower level, and he looks down at me, and I get this stream that lands on my head. And the philosopher says, I looked up, and I looked at this empty person who's treating me like I don't exist, and I didn't react, and I didn't get upset. And when I was treated with such scorn, when I was treated in such a humiliating fashion, but I didn't budge internally, that was the happiest day of my life. That's what the philosopher answers, and the Rambam quotes this in the Pirush HaMishnayos. So the Pasuk says, Baz l're'eyu, someone who scorns his friend, chasar lev, he lacks the heart. He thinks he's a big shot because he's making fun of the other guy. But you should know, if you're making fun of someone, chances are you're the one that's missing something. Ve'ish tevunot, and if the one that's being scorned has real understanding, yacharish, then he'll be silent. That's what the Rambam quotes. That philosopher says, it was the happiest day of my life because I was able to remain serene. He didn't make me budge. I was silent.
Philosopher was a non-Jew?
I think he's a non-Jew. I think the Rambam's quoting a non-Jewish philosopher, yes. I think so. Okay, maybe we'll pick up here next time.